Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to a special online event today called Discover the Transformative and Liberating Powers of the Black Madonna, inviting the nurturing divine healer who appears in our time of need. My name is Stephen Dynan, the founder and president of the Shift Network, and I'm really so blessed to be here with you, learning from a remarkable woman whose name is China Galland. She is an award-winning author and former professor of art, religion, and education, and she's really been expanding the paradigm of understanding of a particularly important archetype for this moment, a figure that is shrouded in mystique and mystery. It's the Black Madonna, and the Black Madonna has many layers of symbolism, a lot of importance for how we navigate the many crises and challenges of our day. So that's really a very timely and important discussion and exploration today. And we're also going to dive into an experiential connection point with the Black Madonna as well. So thank you so much for joining us here today, China.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm delighted, as I said to you, to be doing this course with you at this particular moment in time when our whole country, our whole globe is in such an enormous transition on all levels.
It is a time of a great shifting. And so digging deep into the root system, as I know you like to go, is so important. And the course that China just mentioned is going to be a brand new upcoming program. We're going to have a chance to go much deeper with her for over a whole 7-week journey. We'll share a little bit more about that towards the end of the hour. So, but let's circle back to China. Let's go to your roots. What is it that propelled you on this path? I know you kind of had a circuitous journey east and then back into your home lineages to discover the Black Madonna and really the importance of this figure for our own spirit, all of our spiritual evolution right now. So maybe take us a little bit through your journey first.
Well, I started out, as many of us do, being raised in a very strict religious tradition. I was raised Catholic. I went to a Catholic girls' school most of my life. And there was a point at which I ended up leaving that faith. By that time, I was a mother of three children, single mother of three children. And I didn't really know where to go. So I discovered that I was living next door to San Francisco Zen Center's Green Gulch Farm in Muir Beach, California. And I began to investigate Buddhism. It seemed like it was a balm for everything I'd been raised with in Catholicism. And I began to learn to meditate. So it was a great help to me in learning to quiet the mind. But over time, after a couple of years, it began to feel like, there's a lot of ways in which Buddhism in the 70s, even though technically women could become priests, there were very few women who were priests. And there seemed to be sort of ceilings and corners and boxes that I was running into in ways that felt similar to what I'd run into in Roman Catholicism. So one day after lecture on a Sunday, someone was kind enough to take me aside and said, you know, you might be interested to learn that in Tibetan Buddhism, there is a female Buddha, and her vow was to only be enlightened in a woman's body. And I was on fire. I was so excited to find out about this figure, this deity named Tara. Who was Tara? And I discovered that hardly any text had been translated about her. I could only find one book that mentioned her in any detail. And so I continued to long for this figure of this woman, that there was some feminine intelligence before that said, no, I can be fully and completely enlightened. And in fact, as I began to find out more over the years, specifically what had happened was this wonderful being, whoever she was, Tara, she apparently was a human being in some earlier incarnation. She said, well, you know, I've thought about this. I think it might be more helpful if I vow only to be enlightened in a woman's body. And so she was. So this figure was like my Babe Ruth. She was my hero. You know, if there'd been baseball cards for her or tarot cards, I would have gotten them. So I was thrilled. And I discovered over time that in order to find out more about her, I was going to have to go to Nepal. So I prepared to go there. I convinced my little brother to come take care of my children so I could go to Nepal. I organized a whole trek. I ended up on that trek falling, breaking my leg. So I arrived back in the States realizing that something tremendous had come into my life, and that I may have failed on my trek just to be with the Sherpa people and learn more about Tara, but that something enormous was happening in my life. So initially, when I first got to Nepal, before we left on the trek, all around the city, I was seeing these extraordinary black female deities with multiple hands and arms dancing on demons, and they looked happy. And it's like, what is this about? And you'd think it would be look strange to me, but what was the strangest part of my response was it looked like what was missing in everything I knew about America. It was like being a white American overseas, and these images sort of like turned everything I knew or had been taught inside out. And it was vivifying and exciting, and they were vibrant and mysterious, and I had no idea what this these black female deities were about, except I knew that they were good and they fought evil. So back in the States, realizing that I needed to pursue my spiritual path even more deeply at a greater depth, I was visiting a friend in Boston who was in divinity school, and her name is Tara, but she showed me an anthropology text and it had a photograph of a coal black Madonna. And she said, "You were raised Catholic. Have you ever seen a black Madonna?" And I said, "No." And it's the black Madonna in Einsiedeln, whom we'll talk about in this course. And I was stunned. She was very European looking. She wasn't clearly African, and yet she was completely black, as was the Christ child. So what was exciting to me about that image, even though the idea of having anything to do with the religion I'd been brought up in was very foreign to me, it did feel like what my nurseryman cousins always said, the power of a plant is in the root. The power is in the root. And like it or not, my roots were in the West. My roots were in the Roman Catholic Church. So I felt like the Black Madonna gave me a thread to go back through my life and not abandon all the wonderful things I'd learned in Buddhism, but somehow I'd been given a thread, this thread of darkness that was going to carry me through. So then I went to Einsiedeln. Another extraordinary experience. As I said, it's an enormous Benedictine monastery, beautiful Benedictine monastery. It dates back to roughly the 11th century. The Madonna there is coal black with beaten gold clouds and thunder clouds and lightning behind her. She's magnificent and very small. You know, I sat there, I painted her, I knelt, I prayed, I lit candles. You know, each one of those activities for me, given my background that I turned my back on, was revolutionary and difficult. But each one was a breakthrough to allow myself and to just keep coming back to the present moment. Didn't matter what had happened in the past or what I had believed as a child and then decided wasn't true. It didn't matter. I was there now. But it seemed as though I needed to do something more. So there is a very famous pilgrimage in Poland. And the Poles have been walking this pilgrimage every summer in August for over 300 years. You walk from all over Poland. I walked from Warsaw. That was 9 days. So there I found myself in the middle of this enormous crowd walking from Warsaw. We slept in the middle of fields and farmyards. By the end of the pilgrimage, it was just a gift. So it's a gift to be asked to even talk about this experience. It's bringing a lot back into my heart right now. Thank you so much. In the midst of this pandemic and the loss of my own husband 8 months ago and members of my family. So, you know, we have this unprecedented moment of global grief. And the Black Madonna to me right now, the unknown, that's our universe, that we're, it's showing us COVID is both killing people, but it's also showing us how inseparable we are. And that we can't imagine that we can operate so individualistically. So it's a great comfort right now, personally, to have this image of this mother who is dark, who may be mysterious, but over the years, having traveled to her different shrines, discovering what a loving, beautiful, I think she's dark because it came to me one day writing, because she's entered so many lives on fire. She specializes in suffering and relieving suffering, or being a presence in which I can put down my suffering in her lap. I can lay my head in her lap. I can give my sorrow to her.
Yeah, I love what you were saying about earlier about the this being kind of a missing piece. And so it's like that ability to go into the suffering, the grief, the hard places with that loving maternal kind of presence does seem like absolutely one of the missing ingredients for how we relate to our to the divine and spiritual life. Is that like those are oftentimes the times that we need that divine presence the most. And so I'd love for you to share just about how does that apply to our collective moment where we've had a tremendous amount of loss on not just a personal level, but collectively. There's a sort of loss of different ideals and freedom of mobility. And so that it's like, why in this moment is Black Madonna as a figure important for us as a kind of a missing piece to reclaim in our spiritual lives?
I remember standing in Brazil in the Basilica of Aparecida, which is apparently larger than St. Peter's in Rome, larger than St. John the Divine in New York. It's this enormous basilica, and it's in the round, the altars in the center, and the very small Madonna, she's only like 24 inches high, coal black, and the priest at that on her feast. It was a 9-day pilgrimage I went on to understand who the Black Madonna was in this whole other context. And as I was standing there, and the priest was taking the Madonna up and down the aisles, and people were saying, Viva, Viva Aparecida. This is Our Lady of Aparecida, the one who appears. Viva Aparecida. I suddenly remembered Gabriel appearing to Mary in the story in the Christian narrative. He appears to Mary and he says, you know, you're going to have a child. And she says, how can this be? And Gabriel explains, I'm roughly paraphrasing, says, because the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. And then thus the child will be holy and will be the Son of God. And there in that basilica, amidst the shouts for Aparecida, I realized, oh, the Black Madonna shows us what it looks like to be covered by God.
So, China, you've had incredible trips around the world into all these different facets of the Black Madonna and how she appears in different traditions. But I think it'd be really helpful for people to understand. So, first of all, like why all these different traditions have had an emergent dark goddess figure, and then how do they link together so that it really becomes like one archetype that we're working with, regardless of our particular religious tradition?
I think the origins, Stephen, when you go back into history, are lost and shrouded in time. That there is no one simple, single explanation about why these different Madonnas are black, whether it's in Spain or France or Greece or Turkey or Germany or England or the United States or Latin, North or South America. Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patron of all the Americas, and she was not black, but she's technically considered a Black Madonna because she's not white. She's non-white. She's dark. She was an indigenous woman. So the person who appeared to Juan Diego, the peasant who first saw her. So there isn't a simple reason. And so you have to investigate whichever Madonna you might be drawn to is sort of how I learned. And it was a self-taught avenue. And as I said, the first one I went to really was Einsiedeln, was Switzerland. So that immediately told me something in terms of the history of this figure. I began hearing, you go to one shrine and you hear about others. But I began to realize that her color isn't necessarily related at all to her location and to the people in that area. That might be true in some places in the south of France, where people had traveled from Egyptian Africa and there had been a lot of trade. But that wasn't true in Switzerland. So I learned that a lot is not known. And the best way to go is find out for yourself and investigate. I also learned in Switzerland, and this may be related, because one of the common things in terms of the darkness is, of course, the earth. And in Switzerland, I found out from a geologist at the university there that there is a crystalline structure in the rock in Einsiedeln. It's not found any other place in Switzerland. So it could be, and this comports with some of what I've learned in Buddhism about some of the sacred sites, at least in Tibetan Buddhism, is that there may be an unusual geographic feature, which again brings us back to the earth, which is what we're being called to revalue and understand, that we are not only intimately connected to one another, we are not separate from this earth, and we cannot simply destroy this earth. I mean, the Black Madonna. I'm trying to avoid making general statements, but it is a momentous time. And at every one of these sites, you can go back and find some connection to an earlier belief tradition that honored the earth. So I think this moment is giving us the opportunity to recalibrate where we as a people are going, as a species are going, our humanity is going. And because whatever we do right now, it's becoming eminently clear, it affects all of us. I'm trying to say things about the history of this figure that you can take with you to whatever shrine you or Madonna you want to look at, because we're still in the age of exploration. And in geographic explorations, sailors would note where there was potable water, where there was a port a ship could pull into. And it was out of these notations from the sailors that maps, reliable maps, were later constructed. So I feel like I'm still in the age of finding out where there's potable water. Where's the truth about this particular environment, the lay of this landscape? But at every one, it goes back to the earth, Stephen. Thank you.
So it makes a lot of sense that it's sort of a lot of times we're focusing on more celestial kind of, you know, light colored goddesses, or that it's sort of more ascending away from the planet in a certain way. But it's like there's an earthiness, an embrace of the planet that we live on, that is part of what is activated with the Black Madonna images as well, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I think that we could go into that in a lot more depth, depending on the site.
I'd love for you to just start to, so traveling to the actual shrines is obviously very powerful. There's a history, sometimes maybe special geologic elements to it as well. But in terms of people just being at home with themselves, their own spiritual practice, how do you start to turn the image of the Black Madonna into a practice of internal alchemy and transformation?
Well, especially since so many of us are still, you know, we have to be so careful to protect one another in this time of the pandemic. So if one is able to get to a computer and use it, you could go. Many of these shrines have websites now. You could go, you could pull up one, you could explore what's available on the web. Einsiedeln has a website. You can hear the monks singing. You could download an image. This is what I might suggest. You download an image that you find attractive or that somehow speaks to you. You don't have to know why. Don't worry about that. Just somehow, if you can, get a photograph, a postcard, an image off the web, whatever you can do. Or just if you don't, can't do that, just imagine her as a loving, earthy, dark mother that you want to have a relationship with. And you don't know why, you don't understand. It's a little scary because in our society, we have not valued people of color, and darkness has been made into something negative. And this figure gives us an opportunity to turn that upside down and throw out that kind of negativity and consider the blessings of the dark. What's good about the dark? We need the womb. We need the time and the place and the complete protection from light in order to grow, just like seeds. So you could use the image of a seed. You could, if you don't have an image before you that you're drawn to, that you could just look at and give yourself maybe start with something really small, 5 minutes a day, where you just look. You just take in that darkness, whatever that's about for you. And you begin to discover what it is. Or simply think about a seed. Consider the seed and let it grow in you.
Great metaphor, because seeds obviously do take root and start to turn into a plant within a dark, moist environment. And so that's in many ways what we're going through collectively right now, too. So, China, I'd love for you just to share a little bit more about the history, just cross-culturally, about the Black Madonna, the dark feminine icon that is really helps us to create this missing piece in our spiritual life.
Well, even Kali, who's in Hinduism, who's traditionally often depicted as black, but also has different forms, different colors and different forms, she too has a peaceful form. So it's as though this image of a mother, the dark mother or the dark virgin, whichever one is with child, one is without, whichever you're comfortable with. And in the Buddhist tradition, I'm not aware of a Tara that has a child, nor a Kali, whoever had a child. So, but you still have this uniting element of the dark, of manifestations that are black or non-white or brown or red. In fact, the priest in Poland, when I was finding in Poland to go on that pilgrimage, assured me that the Black Madonna was misnamed. It wasn't correct to call her the Black Madonna, that she was actually cosmic red because she had descended through the atmosphere and burned as she came to Earth to be helpful to us. So again, it's this. So I'm always looking for what is common here. And what's common is the fact that there is some presence in this universe, in the cosmos, in the world we live in, which includes the Earth, it includes other planets, the stars, the sun, that is always bending towards what does it take to give you more life? Mm. What can give you more life? So let the Black Madonna for me has been an image that has given me more life, given me a way into African-American communities or conversations. You know, some people feel like I'm white. What can I know? I can't know other people's experience. However, I can offer what threads of commonality we might find. I have a very dear friend who went to Catholic school, and she's African-American. And when she was in the 10th grade, the school took them to see the Madonna at Montserrat in Spain. What an empowering experience it was, she told me. So that's given us a rare kind of unique connection that I don't have with that many people. Because so many people in the African-American tradition are raised Protestant. So, and Mary isn't attended to in Protestantism. So it creates this opening, Stephen, of inquiry. You know, it's like, okay, I got dealt these cards. Which ones do you have in your hand? So, and then finding connections. So it's just, it's great connective tissue for me. So I think that's what she has to offer us.
That's great. Well, I know we said we'd also cover some of the other specific traditions. There's one in Brazil around the Black Madonna of Brazil, known as the Mother of the Excluded. And can you share a little bit more about the specific history of that image in Brazil and why it really can help us to transform some of the root systems of racism as well?
Well, I think any of these Black Madonnas can do that. Any of these Dark Mothers can do that, Stephen. The one in Brazil that I went to, the patron of Brazil is a Black Madonna. I mentioned her earlier in our talk, the 24 inches high. She became famous, and that shrine grew there because there's a river nearby, and there were several poor fishermen. It was late in the 18th century who were out fishing, and they hadn't been able to catch fish for weeks for a long time, and people were starving. And so they threw their nets over the boat one day, and all that came up was a black head. They took it out of the net, they threw their nets over again, hoping for fish. What came up was the body that connected. Once they put the head on the statue, suddenly it was whole and it was inseparable. So they threw the nets in a third time, and the nets were so full of fish that almost toppled the boat when they pulled the catch in. So they kept that Madonna. They called her the one who appeared. Our Lady of Aparecida means the one who appears. So they took her back to their village, and she was paraded through the village, and she spent, it's a lovely idea. She'd spend the night with one family, and then the next day they'd give her to another family. So she got passed around in their village. And as that happened, people began to notice that they were healed. Someone's had a sore that began to heal up once the Madonna had stayed in their house. So these stories began to, this net of stories began to accumulate. And that's sort of how a place, a shrine becomes holy. You know, is it that the image is holy and that's why people come? Or is it that there's something special about the earth there, like in Switzerland, the crystalline structure? What is it? This is ultimately shrouded in mystery, which is why, again, the Black Madonna, I think of the night sky as her cloak that's covering me, that's shot through with stars. Hmm. So in Brazil, she was called Aparecida, the one who appears, but she also then became, and I had the great good fortune to interview the Cardinal Lorscheider, who's unfortunately dead now, but there was a military takeover in Brazil. She became the patron of the Black intellectual movement, the Negritude movement in Brazil, which helped create, as in Poland with the Black Madonna, created the overthrow of the authoritarian regime that had taken over. So she's a great symbol of liberation. And just to see her, like some people are moved by, let's say, the American flag, if we're talking about our country. So people, too, can be called to images and that instill and sort of help arouse their desire and remind them of their desire for freedom. People come from all kinds of faith traditions to honor her. There's still a tremendous influence of African traditions in Brazil, throughout Brazil, especially in Salvador Bahia, northeast part. So there were people there from Ubanda traditions, which is still associated with some of the African beliefs, but they come and they venerate her because she's Black and because they share that. So this is a tradition that's very generous, non-judgmental. It's wide and welcoming. Aparecida was very welcoming. And the whole liturgy that was done for her feast day was mesmerizing. She's the mother of the excluded. So it was like a drama enacted on the center stage in the Basilica with 45,000 people. A single woman walked down the aisle in a bright red sequined top, tight, high stiletto heels, obviously symbolizing a woman of the someone who was rejected by society, Then someone came in dressed in a prisoner's uniform. Someone else came in rolling a pole with an IV in their arm, symbolizing people who had AIDS. Again, these are all people who are excluded. These are things we don't want to talk about, we don't want to face. Her, the worship service for her feast day was to include everyone. That's why she's called the mother of the excluded. So all who were excluded were symbolized in this procession and brought in, and they all took a place around the altar. And at the end of this tableau that was created to celebrate her feast, the priest took the Black Madonna off the altar, handed it to the old brown peasant woman, and everyone danced around her. It was, again, just this joyful experience of taking all that we've left out, all the people we've left out, all the earth that we've left out, all the levels of society that we've left out, and including them and bringing them together in celebration of God, of the divine, whatever that is, whatever name you give it.
Fantastic. I'd love for you now to guide us in the practice. I know we wanted to create an experiential journey for folks here as well to really start to activate the Black Madonna to resolve a current challenge, since so often people turn to the Black Madonna as a way to help navigate a real serious, intense challenge in your life. So I'd love to just turn it over to you and let you guide a practice for us now.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, one of my daily practices is to tend an altar that I've created over the years from with different images, Black Madonnas, Tara, whatever one considers holy or sacred or identifies with. I have a space in my house on top of file cabinets where I fill water bowls every morning. So you could just imagine yourself thinking of what is a safe place for you that you have. And if you don't have one, that's okay too. Imagine how you would like it to be. Place yourself in the safe space for you. It could be under a tree in a forest. It could be anywhere. What is that space for you? And just imagine, as you're beginning to go into being willing to imagine something perhaps new for you, taking a really deep breath, just breathing in, and on your out breath, letting go, breathing in. Letting go, breathing in, letting go, and accepting wherever it is you find yourself in this moment, and let whatever figure, image of the Dark Mother, of the Divine Mother, of the Earth, whatever is sacred to you, let that arise in front of you, in your imagination. So with another breath, remembering that we have only this moment, consider your heart. Is your heart light? Is it heavy? Do you have grief? And as you do this, keep breathing in. Breathing out, breathing in. What is your heart giving you? What is weighing on your heart? Breathing in, breathing out. Is there some place in your body that feels tight or some pain? Breathing in, breathing out. Accept this body that you have been given. Make yourself comfortable in this moment, as comfortable as you can be. This great dark mother can hold you. Breathing in, breathing out. As you breathe in and then breathe out, see if a sigh comes. Elongate your breath, right? Draw out that out breath and let it take form of a sound. I'm just imagining you wherever you are with me, breathing in, breathing out, and now elongating that. Allowing yourself the freshness and sweetness of air to come into your body, down through your body, into your belly, down to your legs, into the earth. And allow yourself to imagine that you have roots here. No matter where you're from, put your roots down here in this moment. Imagine that the floor that you either may be sitting on or have your feet on is underneath the layers, whether it's carpet or linoleum or wood, is the earth. Send your roots into this piece of ground you occupy, even if it's only a jail cell block wide. And you have a roommate and you have a cellmate. 2 by 2, send your roots into the earth below. Know that in the soil, there are rivulets of water that course through, unless you're in a complete desert. But things have a way of growing. In most places, not. There is no every place. Sometimes right now, I feel like a little shoot coming up through the crack in the cement of the pandemic and the way our lives have been coated, covered, confined. Or I felt the heaviness in my heart over losing 3 people in my family in the last 8 months. The Black Madonna gives me a piece of ground and an acceptance, like whether my mother was good or perfect or not, it doesn't matter. Somewhere we have this idea of the good mother, of the good earth and the good mother. And I am using that and allowing that when I feel unsteady, when I feel lost, when I am grief-stricken, I sit in her lap with her night sky surrounding me. And I remember I am not alone. Please remember, you are not alone. Love is the connection, and the connection, connective tissue. Allow yourself to see those you love and imagine them warm, safe, in good health, fed and nourished. Whether they literally are or not, I don't know. You may not know. But just imagine that they are cared for. And you can hold them in your lap, in your heart, like the great mother, the earth, holds us in her lap. Hear her great heart beating. Let your heart beat with hers and extend your life force to those you love, and then on to those to whom you're indifferent, and then further to those with whom you find difficulty. And just for a moment, imagine, give them enough space, even if it's only the thickness of a piece of paper, to imagine there's so much you don't know and can't see about their life. And for a moment, give up all the judgment. Pray that they too may be cared for, complete and whole. And then slowly bow before them, bow before those towards whom you feel neutral, then to your own beloveds. Wish them well. Give thanks for the seed of beneficence in this presence. Know that you can return here at any time you choose. And slowly come back into where you're seated, into this immediate presence that you're in, into your sitting in a chair, on a cushion, on the floor, under a tree, and gradually open your eyes.
So China, what a beautiful, beautiful guided journey there. And I wanted to make sure we cover one last area that we said we would discuss today, which is relates to the Black Madonna in Poland and the reported miraculous healings that happen. And just generally, there's often a lot of healings and miracles associated with Black Madonna. So I'd love for you to share a bit about how to, you know, maybe a little bit about the particular Poland version, and then how to invoke or call forth the deep, even miraculous healings that the Black Madonna can help catalyze.
The Madonna in Poland, or Lady of Częstochowa, all these Black Madonnas are considered miracle workers and healers, Stephen. All of them. I don't know one of them that isn't. But then the divine, generally, in any shrine, they will tell you that. But especially the Black Madonnas, they seem to be, miraculous healing seem to be their specialty, and hopeless cases. And perhaps authoritarian regimes, because that's what happened when Solidarity ended up including, they didn't exclude anyone else, but they also included that part of the Polish heritage, the pilgrimage to that shrine, and it became a way in which this very delicate you know, it's like the civil rights movement in this country. There was a spiritual dimension to it. The most powerful movements always have a spiritual dimension to them in a positive way, you know, for life, for love, for liberty, but for everyone. That's part of one of the signs, I think, of discernment of like, what is the fruit of this? The fruit of what happened in Poland, which some did, in fact, consider miraculous, was the healing of the country, the throwing off of an authoritarian regime and repression and setting off the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia and the whole freedom, freeing of the Eastern Bloc from an authoritarian regime. So in terms of how we today can evoke this presence, I find one of the most potent means is I have many altars to her. Over time, I have accumulated certain artifacts of the sacred, let's say. Like I have a very cheesy statue of a Aparecida in Brazil on my altar. I have an image, a beautiful image that the priest in Poland gave me. It was the first time that icon had been cleaned in centuries, was after World War II. These are the kinds of things I might put on my altar, but I also have like an ancient piece of limestone from the creek I grew up wading in as a child. That's like runs through my dreams, runs through my life. It's like another thread. You make a sacred space for yourself, wherever that is for you. Give yourself the grace and the space to really let your heart speak to you, put what's important to you in front of you. Light a candle every day. If you have a little cup, you can put some water in. So it's like I'm beginning the day, I'm pouring in fresh water. Then at night, I empty my water bowls. I have a traditional set of them, Tibetan set of them. But use whatever you have. You don't have to go out and spend money. Just use what's around you that's dear to you. And empty those water bowls at night. I give thanks for the day. And then when I get up in the morning, I fill them again and I give thanks that I made it through the night and here I am, I have another day. And I have to work a lot on gratitude, especially at this time where there's loss, there's complexity and confusion around us. And it's so important to keep choosing love when there may be reason to hate.
Well, I think this has been a fascinating exploration, China. So I think now would be a good time to talk explicitly about your upcoming program for those who want to go much deeper into the Black Madonna, both the history, the practice, the sort of bringing this force for transformation and healing, for reconnecting with the earth, for navigating difficult times, bringing you into deep relationship with her, and to really bring it alive in whatever your tradition is. So the program that China's going to be teaching is called A Virtual Pilgrimage to the Black Madonna, and you can find it at blackmadonnacourse.com. Madonna has two N's, blackmadonnacourse.com. It's going to be a 7-week journey, and so quite literally it is a pilgrimage and a journey of a course where we go through together with people all over the world who are on the journey with you. So I would love for you, China, to share a little bit about the overview of why take this journey with you and where are they going to pilgrimage to and through the modules.
What I'd like to share, what I think I've discovered by creating this course, is that the work I've done on the Black Madonna and finding out who she is, what she offers about her, where she's located, the different sites around the world, you know, all this proceeding out of my own frustration with my background and looking elsewhere and coming back to my own root system. So going deeper into that part of it, I'm blanking, Stephen, hold on. So we're going to talk about who the Black Madonna is. And the purpose of this is to actually bring us back more fully present in this moment today in our society. She gives us a chance not only to connect more deeply with the earth, she gives us a chance to get to know other people at a new level. at a deeper level, and people from a variety of backgrounds. It has been a complete source of liberation for me as a white person in our society to have this cross-cultural vocabulary that the Madonna has given me and that Tara has given me and this journey has given me. So I want to share with other people whatever might be useful in terms of introducing you, taking you along so that you might find sources of inspiration and connection for yourself that will allow you to be more comfortable in this very difficult moment that we're in. Not only are we dealing with COVID, we've had a whole sea change in our society. There is hatred loose in the world in a shocking way, but in a way that many of us who've been following issues of race and reconciliation and reparations for a long time have seen coming. It's been out there in the open for a very long time, as the FBI will tell us. So people haven't wanted to look at this. These things are difficult to look at. Some of the things that have been fostered and in our political system have been inhuman and shocking. I've discovered that the Black Madonna has given me a tool, is a means by which I have learned to be and am continuing to learn daily to be more comfortable with myself, with our environmental crisis, with people from different cultures, different belief systems, different ethnic backgrounds and cultures. It's given me a whole new vocabulary in a way I can move more easily in a much larger communal setting with much more diversity in it and feel and be genuine and have some. So the Madonnas have studying this figure has given me, as I said, a new vocabulary and a new ease for being in some of the complexity and difficulty that we're in today in our society.
Great. Well, so module one is on who is the Black Madonna. Want to share a little bit about that?
The Black Madonna is a traditional image that comes to us here in America out of European Catholicism that is a mainstream figure. There are enormous basilicas and churches to her all throughout Europe and throughout many parts of the world. In this first module about who the Black Madonna is, we'll go more into her symbolism, psychologically, symbolically, what that darkness might represent in other cultures that might inform and feather in our understanding of who this figure is for us today in American society. I will give you a sense of the arc that we're going to take to bring us back around to where we are today. And give you greater tools and ability to be with the complexity, the difficulty, the sorrow, the complexity of today.
Module two is on the power is in the root, the Black Madonna at Einsiedeln, Switzerland.
The Black Madonna of Einsiedeln, Switzerland was the first Black Madonna that I saw after I'd spent some years studying Buddhism, having turned to the East, thought my Christian background had nothing for me. The Black Madonna was the first sign for me within my own background of something I could relate to because, in fact, I knew nothing about her. So she gave me a fresh start. She was the seed of a new understanding that I wanted to have root and grow in me.
Module three is on the Mother of the Excluded, Our Lady of Aparecida, which you touched on earlier. So are you going to be going deeper in that module?
We'll go deeper in that module, of course, Stephen. We'll also, I think it's no accident that Brazil is also where marvelous new models of education came from as well. So we'll look at connections between new understandings of human development and liberation theology, also coming out of Brazil. Does it have any connection with the Black Madonna? We'll see.
Module four, the Black Madonna of Poland.
Our Lady of Częstochowa was long recognized as a powerful force. She was credited with saving Poland from the Swedish invasion centuries ago. So there's a connection there of the Madonna aligning herself with a small but potent group of people who honored her and wanted to protect her, being able to withstand vast armies and battlements, you know, people attempting to politically take over her followers. So it's all on an analogous level. This is not literal. But there is this political element that when you get into looking at the Black Madonna in Poland, and some in with Aparecida too, but especially in Poland, it's more obvious. I was able to interview the Nobel laureate, Lech Wałęsa, about that relationship between the Solidarity movement and the workers' movement that overthrew the repressive regime, and how they did that non-violently. And the Madonna helped with that.
Module 5 is on the Dark Mother of the Americas, Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Well, Guadalupe, when she appeared to, according to the legend, in the 16th century to Juan Diego, a peasant, she actually was a figure who appeared at a site that was sacred to the Mayan people, and she was called Tonantzin. So what I want to go into with Guadalupe that I find endlessly fascinating, because she's quite alive and well, especially in places like California and Texas and throughout the Americas, as a symbol of liberation. I think it's no accident that, again, here's the political element. Cesar Chavez, you know, they had Guadalupe on the banner for the farm workers movement. People in these struggles draw spiritual support from these figures of the Dark Mother. So this is the indigenous root that can be brought forth and acknowledged that you find in Guadalupe once you begin to look under the surface. So we get to see into the eyes of the Madonna and be seen by her.
Module 6 is on Our Lady of Good Deliverance, Notre Dame de Bonne Deliverance.
Notre Dame de Bonne Deliverance is this very mysterious Madonna in Paris. She is coal black, but the robes that she's wearing are red and blue, and she's quite colorful. And she's holding a child. But Bonne Deliverance, my awareness of her grew out of the fact of the French Revolution, because she, in fact, was housed in a monastery in Paris that belonged to the Sisters of St. Thomas of Villanova. When the Reign of Terror took over and churches were sold and their contents emptied, desecrated, or sold off for the French Revolution, that statue ended up in the hands of a wealthy widow in Paris. But she too was thrown into prison along with all the nuns from St. Thomas of Villanova's convent. And she told them, look, if we pray to this Madonna, and we get out of here alive without being guillotined, which people were being guillotined right and left, and they were due to be. If we live through this experience, I will give you this statue. And that's exactly what happened.
And the final module's on tying it all together. What are you taking into the world?
Well, that's for each one of you to discover. It will be different for each one of us. For me, it was this new understanding of race, of the environment, of all the associations I've been talking about in terms of what this great dark mother, no matter what culture she appears in, what she is connecting us with and to throughout the world. She is a symbol of our own root system as human creatures who come from and are not separate from the earth or from each other. What you'll get from this course, I believe, and what I'd like for you to have, is more of a kind of understanding and sort of reasoned conclusion to look again at maybe old beliefs, old prejudices, be able to identify them, to be transformed, so that if you discover biases you might have towards other people, other places, those can all be transformed by asking for help. And this is the source of help that has been transformative to me. So it's what I have to share.
Great. Well, thank you for putting together such a powerful pilgrimage into the heart of the Black Madonna and how we can really live with more blessings from her and to live a more full spiritual life. So a little bit more about the program. Again, you can find the details at blackmadonnacourse.com. So you not only get 7 90-minute live sessions with China, you also get Q&A time. You get recordings, both video and audio of each session. There's word-for-word transcripts. There's small group time, weekly exercises. A Facebook community allows you to connect with people from around the world who are also passionate about the Black Madonna. Plus, there's a number of great extra bonuses you see outlined on the page at blackmadonnacourse.com. There's a video dialogue with China and Mirabai Star, one of our favorite Schiff faculty, called The Black Madonna Climbs Down from the Altar and Walks Out into the Street. There's a video teaching from China on a bonus module on two additional Black Madonnas, really completing that pilgrimage around the world traditions. There's a video teaching from China on China's process of altar creation and maintenance, getting at the heart of really seeing your altar as a place that you are birthing yourself and creating a sort of a living, breathing practice of relationship with the Black Madonna. And there's one extra bonus that we are adding as well, which is today, if you sign up by midnight, you get 5 sessions from the Mystic Summit, our 2021 summit. It's highly acclaimed. It was hosted by Mirabai, really going into the heart of spiritual realization from many different traditions. So you get 5 sessions, and you can see them all laid out in detail on the page at blackmadonnacourse.com. So we're delighted to offer this program. We kept the investment really accessible, even with all the bonuses, just 3 payments of $109, or you save 10% when you pay in full with 1 payment of $297. So the journey is going to begin on March 16th. We're on a Tuesdays at 1 Pacific time, 4 Eastern. But even if you can't make that live time, you can still get the full value because you can get the recordings right away and participate in the community. So I encourage you to read through some of the testimonials on the page as well. Some of the most eminent teachers out there, from people like Jack Kornfield, really raving about China Galland as a teacher and guide. And so you're in good hands here, and with the depth of scholarly and spiritual practice combined together to really give you a powerful initiation into the Black Madonna and what she can offer into your life. So I encourage you to go to the page, tune in with what you've heard here today. And if you're feeling called to go further, you're warmly welcome. And you can do so at blackmadonnacourse.com. And you get the extra bonus of the 5 sessions from the Mystic Summit when you sign up today. So China, we're right at the end of our time together. Just the last minute, anything from your heart you want to share with folks who are considering going further with you on this journey into the Black Madonna?
By putting this together, I've realized that all the work on the Black Madonna has helped me do the homework I've needed to do to arrive at this point in my own life. What I've accumulated in terms of learning, the experiences, the people I've been given the opportunity to meet, to interview, to travel to see or travel with, and to try to give what I have found most valuable, most useful to other people.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for your generosity of spirit. And I really, and all of your decades of scholarship and practice and really exploring these frontiers, helping them weave them together to bring alive this most important tradition for this moment and really for all of us to have that missing piece of that completes the picture of a healthy, whole, and sacredly grounded spiritual life, which is the Black Madonna. So thank you for this hour. Thank you for the upcoming program. And thank you all for joining us here today. And if you're called to go further, you're warmly welcome to do so. You get the 5 extra bonus sessions from the Mystic Summit when you sign up today. And you can get all the details at blackmadonnacourse.com. Thanks a lot. Many blessings.